नमस्ते, सुस्वागतम एंड वेलकम टू वर्ड्स ऑफ विजडम ज्ञान गंगा विच वी रिले ऑन आवर विराट हिंदुस्तान संगम सोशल मीडिया चैनल्स. टुडे इज अ वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग डे बिकॉज टुडे वी कंप्लीट टुडे द 200th एपिसोड ऑफ ज्ञान गंगा वर्ड्स ऑफ विजडम विच वी रिले एंड एज वी व्हाट वी स्टार्टेड ऑन द 2nd ऑफ अप्रैल इन 2000 एज ए daily program during the COVID lockdown. We have completed afterwards, we converted ourselves into a Sunday item, and we have now completed 200 episodes with Dr. Subramaniam Swami and various guests. Today is another important day for people like Dr. Swami, me and many others who fought the emergency, because today is the eve of the emergency. 48 years ago, I think Dr. Swami, Murarji Desai, Jai Prakash Narayan, Nanaji Deshmukh, all at this time were addressing a public meeting at the Ram Leela grounds in New Delhi. And tonight in 1975, Mrs. Indira Gandhi declared the emergency, which Dr. Swami, as you all know, fought the emergency and one was the leading star of the emergency. Behind every successful man, there lies a woman, they say, and Mrs. Swami is just behind Dr. Swami, having herself fought the emergency with her two small children. She also went abroad before Dr. Swami went abroad and laid the grounds for Dr. Swami network to be laid in UK and USA. So without much, I will say today we will be talking about the emergency which Mrs. Indira Gandhi imposed in 1975, and it continued virtually till January 18th, 1977, and today we will be discussing and whether it will happen again. Can there be some circumstances which an emergency or similar thing can come? So without much discussion, we will discuss once Dr. Swami has his words on this, and we will be having a discussion. We will now request Dr. Swami to start these remarks on the emergency and whether it will happen again. Over to Dr. Swami.
Thank you, Jagdish and Ramesh and Arvind. Today is a great day in a sense to remember, because we don't want it to happen again. And as Jagdish hinted, there is some concern that it may. It nearly happened during the UPA period when Ms. Sonia Gandhi was running and calling the shots. And it was dressed in the form of a Hindu terror. And there was going to be a major change in the constitution and putting people in jail, etc., etc. So, but then my 2G scam completely destroyed their move, and so they could not execute this heinous plan which Sonia Gandhi, with the help of that crooked man called Chidambaram, tried to bring about but failed. So today also I would say that some of the elements which are undesirable and were part of the emergency have reappeared in Mr. Narendra Modi's government also. I'll talk about it in the end about it. For instance, the way the press has been reduced to people who cannot write what they want to write. Otherwise, the newspaper, there's a joint secretary in the PMO who visits newspapers and tells them, we'll close you down or we'll file a case against you or something like that. So that process is gone, which we have to now confront. And therefore, knowing about the emergency has become a very important thing, because there's a new generation which didn't live in the emergency, and therefore they may not know exactly what happened. First of all, why was the emergency called? And what is this emergency about? Emergency is a Article 352 of the Constitution. of course, it's now been the Janata government of Morarji Desai has amended it. So it's very difficult now to invoke Article 352 to declare emergency the way Mrs. Gandhi did. Before Mr. Desai became Prime Minister and the Janata government amended the provision, it was written there that you could suspend the constitutional rights if there was a internal disturbance, perceived internal disturbance. There was no description or definition of what the internal disturbance was, but it was left to the government to decide whether there's been an internal disturbance or not. So we corrected that in the Janata government in 1977, 78 actually, but it passed by 2/3 majority and got it rectified. And that was that the instead of internal disturbance, we replaced it in Article 352 as armed rebellion. So they as a consequence, now it's almost impossible to declare an emergency under the Constitution. You have to violate the Constitution to do it. Now, the emergency was declared, the people say, because the Allahabad High Court had found Mrs. Gandhi guilty of violation of the election laws and committed corruption, and therefore she was unseated. And consequently, since the Allahabad High Court unseated her, she couldn't be Prime Minister. So the emergency was declared. That's a general popular view, but I would certainly say that was the catalytic part of it. But the preparation for emergency by Mrs. Gandhi had started almost from 1969, when the Congress Party had divided. And then she got a huge mandate after nationalizing the banks and so many other things, insurance and so on. And and then Bangladesh war came. And so that she got a huge boost by that. By 1972, Mrs. Gandhi was, even Vajpayee was calling her as Ganga Ma or something like that. She was in the peak of her power. At that stage, three of her ministers, one was Kumar Mangalam, who was killed in an air crash in 1973. Gokhale, who was the law minister, and Siddhartha Shankar Ray, who did a palti afterwards, but he was a non-jurist, so he was on the thing. They were rewriting the constitution and hoping to get it implemented now, or rather passed in parliament, because they had that kind of majority to do it. But JP had started a movement, and I must say that's how I came into the picture, because JP first met me when I was a professor at Harvard, and he had come to sightsee Harvard. And so the Harvard University wardens, as they were called, they had a special unit for visitors who wanted to see Harvard campus. And they phoned me up because I was an Indian, and they knew that there's somebody in Indian had come. And that's how JP spent 2-3 days in my company. I took him around, showed him Harvard. I arranged a public meeting for him, and he was so pleased that he told me, when you return to India, and you must return to India, he said. I said, I plan to return to India. He said, when you return to India, you must join with me in the Sarvodaya movement. I said, Sarvodaya movement, in my opinion, is not possible in India, because in India, unless politics and social activities are combined, like Mahatma Gandhi did, you can't do it. And the beginning, Jay Prakash was very unhappy about it, about me, and he thought that I was too Americanized and so on. But over a period of from 1969 when I came back and 70, he began to change. And finally, one day he called me and he said, I think you're right. So I'm going to call a meeting of by several of their people and tell them that I go by your view and not their view. And it happened that way. And he came into politics. I arranged his first meeting in Lucknow University, which was a big smash hit. And so the process began. So the JP movement began and the young people all started coming. And that forced the political parties to also fall in line. In that, I had told JP that, you know, you need an organizer. And there's only one organizer I can think of who can do you justice and be faithful to you. And that's Nanaji Deshmukh. So he was he had a great aversion to RSS. So I told him, no, it's once you get to know them, they are not that they're not the type that they have been made out to be. So he asked me to arrange a meeting. So Nanaji came and became his closest ally afterwards, and a man who really was a master in organization. So the JP movement began developing momentum. Now Mrs. Gandhi got more agitated, and the left wing was very much against JP because they considered him a CIA agent. And anybody who was not a communist was a CIA agent. So therefore, they called him a CIA agent. They tried to do this and that to him. And when this was moving, Morarji Desai was able to get the Gujarat, which was not having elections for many months. He did a fast unto death, and Mrs. Gandhi got nervous, and she held elections, and she lost the elections. So a new body came into account called the Janata Morcha. Essentially, there was people who broke away from Congress, or Mrs. Gandhi broke away, leaving the remaining as the Congress O. And that led to a victory of Jan Sangh and the Congress put together. And from that on, the momentum began to grow. Then Mrs. Gandhi had another setback, and that was this court case. And therefore, all of us came out on the street saying, resign, go, get out. And she was persuaded by her communist colleagues that she should now declare an emergency. And that's how emergency was declared. And it was declared on the morning after the previous night. We had a huge it was gigantic. I don't think we can ever have that kind of meeting in Ramlila grounds of JP and Morarji and all that. And you will see in that picture that I'm sitting next to Jayaprakash Narayan, and Nanaji is on the one extreme, and I am on another extreme, and Morarji and Jayaprakash Narayan together. That was a historic meeting which scared the hell out of Mrs. Gandhi, and therefore and I was there because I was the only one who was acceptable to both Morarji and JP. These two people hated each other for some reason, but I brought them together for that meeting. Nanaji failed, so he told me, you try, and that's how I was on the stage. I was a very junior person that time, in my early 30s, but they gave me the credit, they gave me the position of organizing the public meeting. And that public meeting, JP had got information, and he spoke in the crowd that Mrs. Gandhi will ask the army to take over. Please be careful, fight it. It won't last long if we all fight it. Give me your word. And the whole crowd put their hands up. And that frightened Mrs. Gandhi. So next morning, this her losing that case in Allahabad High Court, the existence of the plan, and then JP now taking the offensive, all put together made Mrs. Gandhi declare the emergency. That's how it was declared. And it was very brutal. And it is something that India had not tasted. The new generation of Indians had not tasted. The British had gone away and the new generation had come. And so it was a bewildering thing. And a lot of innocent people were put in jail. At least 140,000 people were put in jail on a new order, which is called MISA, Maintenance of Internal Security Act. And that that is how the emergency began. At that time, I had got a tip off in my Greater Kailash house where I was staying. In the morning at 4 o'clock, I got a phone call from the local police station saying, Swami sahab, aap ghar mein hain, to abhi aapko milne ke liye aa rahe hain. So I said, 4 baje subah. He said, sahab, aap hain to hum milenge, aap nahi hain to fir aage dekha jayega. So I immediately understood that somebody is trying to give me a message. So I went buzzed off. That's how I escaped being arrested. And I went and stayed in some friend's house, and then the process began, and I was underground. I changed my looks. I had put on a Sardarji pagadi and all that. I looked like a Sardar. And I did about say 6-7 months of that. And so at that time, I received a message from JP, please go abroad. Don't stay here, because here you are no use to us. But in America, I have seen how high esteem you had, whatever esteem you enjoyed. You publicize, you go to Voice of America, BBC, and so on, publicize what's going on, because nobody knows abroad that all good people have been arrested. They think only criminals have been arrested, and so on, which was the propaganda. So that's how I went abroad. And I campaigned for a continuous 6 months, and soon I found that in India, everything had become quiet. And the Indians are like that. They don't fight unless there is an element of secrecy provided to them. And so they say, yeah, there's no, you can't fight without being open about it. And so people all sort of browned off, and everything was had gone cold. At that time, I made up my mind, I'll do something. And the only thing that occurred to me was to come to inside Parliament and make a speech and disappear. And that would demonstrate to the whole world that Mrs. Gandhi is not in control. Almost everybody I consulted in America told me, this is madness. How can you possibly think like this? But I said, no, I've worked it all out, and I'll do it. I'll take the responsibility. So I did come to India on a Pan-American plane, which landed in Delhi. Now, I don't want to waste time telling you how I got out of the airport. I spent 5 days, surprisingly, in my own house with police sitting outside waiting for me to come. And still I managed to come. I stayed 5 days in my own house. And then on the 10th of August, I went, I came out of my house and drove the car while the police kept looking what is going on, because they had the report that I was still in America, in England or Scotland or something like that. And so they didn't get excited. So I went to Parliament. I was dressed as I was, not as a Sardarji as most people think, but I was dressed like I'm dressed today. And I walked in, and the watch and ward staff immediately recognized me. They asked me, have you been let off? So I said, what is the point in fighting in many, yet nowadays, if you say to a 20-point program, they let you off. So, I mean, he misunderstood it to mean that I had signed the 20-point program. So he let me in. I went to Parliament, and the opposition was boycott, so all the benches were empty. But as I calculated the obituary was going on, so the last name was being read by the then chairman, and I got up and said, "There's a point of order. You have not mentioned you have not mentioned the death of democracy in your obituary," and the chairman said, "No, there's no such thing." no such thing. And then he asked people to stand up. So that gave me the opportunity to escape again. And I escaped, how I escaped, and went to Bombay, and then went to Nepal. And then the Nepal king, who was my student, King Birendra, he provided me an access to fly out back to America. That's how it happened. But it wrecked Mrs. Gandhi's confidence that she was in control. She herself told me afterwards, because I became a friend of Rajiv Gandhi, and he once told me, now forget the past, go and let's have tea with my mother, and so on. So when in the course of the conversation, she asked me many things, and then I asked her, why did you declare it? Because there is no point. She said, no, all my colleagues, they were for it, but I had to, but they didn't stand with me afterwards, and I was left holding it and so on. But the more important thing is, I found from her that she had gone to Paramacharya and sat before him to ask for his blessings. And Paramacharya sat with his hands like this and kept looking elsewhere. He refused to acknowledge her. And she sat there for 1.5 hours. And he also sat just like this. So she got the message. And because later on, she was put to jail, sent to jail. When the Janata Party sent her to jail on a parliamentary resolution, and she came out after 20 days. There, she went to see Paramacharya, and Paramacharya then told her that, well, it is good that you called the election. It's good that you lost. And now you have my blessings. So she said, I am looking for a good election symbol for my new party, because the party had split. So she said, I wanted for my new Congress party a symbol. So he didn't say anything except put his hand out, which he does for everybody, as a blessing. But that is how she got the hand as the symbol. For she took that as a thing, and it had worked very well for her. So now, coming back to all this, all I want to say to you today is that emergency went because of a number of reasons. Number one, she came to feel that she was no more can be sure that there won't be an opposition uprising because of my coming into parliament and then disappearing and not being able to be caught, and moreover, leaving the country and going back again. So that was a factor which at least Rajiv Gandhi very emphasized many times to me. And it makes sense also that I told her that she's not in control. But the more important thing was that she found the entire West had turned against her, and she valued the Western thing. So that was a factor. And the third thing that seemed to worry her is the idea that Morarji is in jail. Supposing he dies tomorrow, what happens? So there were a number of chota mota factors, but she had long sessions with a well-known Tamil spiritual man. His name was Krishnamurti, Jagga Krishnamurti or something like that. He was a very well respected individual. And she went, she would spend hours with him crying. At least
Jiddu Krishnamurti, Dr. Swami.
Jiddu Krishnamurti. Jiddu Krishnamurti, whom Annie Besant said is God in human form. She spent a lot of time, and he kept telling her, there's no escape. You have to declare an emergency and face the consequences. And some people say that was the reason. The other was that she was snubbed by Paramacharya. That's another reason. Plus these other factors. And anyway, she declared an election when the entire IB and everybody was saying she will get 350 seats, nobody told her that she would. They said, you know, the emergency is only objected by educated people. These hoi polloi people, they will not know what is emergency, what is not emergency. They are happy the trains are running on time and the officers are coming to office on time, all that stuff. But when the results came out, we found the educated South voted for Mrs. Gandhi. And not only just voted, landslide for her. Every state, it's not that there weren't strong parties. DMK was there, very strong opponent. But she wiped sweat clean the Tamil Nadu. Same thing with Karnataka. Same thing with Andhra. Same thing with Kerala. So the South, which is supposed to be educated, voted for Mrs. Gandhi. It is this uneducated Hindi walas of the North who UP, Bihar, Madhya Pradesh, you know, Rajasthan, all these Himachal, Haryana, Punjab, all wiped out Mrs. Gandhi in every seat, including her seat and her son's seat in UP. It's unbelievable. But everybody, when I was in America and I was planning to go back, people were saying, what is this election? It is going to be, she's going to win for sure. All these dumb masses of the North India will vote for her, saying that, oh, trains are going on time and officers coming on to office on time. But this didn't happen. But what is the reason for it? Because our Anglo-Saxon, I call them, Indians, they are not rooted in the ground. It is the Indian, they say, no, it was a Nasbandi and all, but Nasbandi was there all over the country. It was there in Andhra, it was there in so many places. But the issue is that the Northerners, they have a certain sentiment. And that sentiment is India's ancient India. And they have not been, their mind has not been cleaned by Western education. And therefore, they voted. They want, they have so many divisions, differences. They know democracy is the best. If you have dictatorship, one caste will dominate and we'll be all in minorities and we'll suffer. So all these factors, she never thought this would happen. She lost her own seat, and that's how the emergency ended. Now, what I would like to say is that this emergency can, first of all, I can tell you that people like Vajpayee and all that completely collapsed. This emergency was defeated by the ordinary people by the fact that Mrs. Gandhi declared an election. Had she not declared an election, they would have things would have been quite different. For instance, in November, after I had come into Parliament and then disappeared, and I was hiding from 10th of August 1976 till November 12th 1976. And I was underground, and Madhurao Mule was the RSS in charge. He looked after me fully, and I was safe, despite enormous, you know, I was 18 cases against me, reward for my arrest, Interpol notice, God knows everything possible. But the RSS, people who are underground, they all supported me so thoroughly that I was able to survive. But RSS was divided. There were those who wanted to see whether an accommodation could be made, and that was led by Mr. Vajpayee. And Mrs. Gandhi then decided that we will have an amended constitution in which the rights of speech and all that will not be fundamental, and so on and so forth. And the socialist old like Gore and others, you see, these socialists who have been goody-goody people, they were all in favor also. Ashok Mehta, for example, was very much in favor. And a meeting was called in January. And in that meeting, January of 1977, in that meeting, a proposal was going to be put before all these people, including Balasaheb's nominated representative, Balasaheb Devras, the head of the RSS. And they were to decide a new form of democracy, a guided democracy, so to speak. Now, Madhav Amule then told me that one of the conditions Mrs. Gandhi has put is that I should be handed over to the police. Otherwise, you know, it will be incomplete. So he said, I won't be able to save you. So I said, all right, I'll go to jail and have some rest. So he said, no, no, you don't go to jail because she's not going to let you. She'll probably cut your leg. You will do this. You know, he gave me all horrid stories about what she might do. She might have. I don't know. But he said, but I want you to go. Nobody, Bajpai wants you to be immediately handed over. He sent me a letter also. Hand him over right away to prove our bona fides. So he said, I am not going to allow it. It won't allow my conscience. And you go out. And the only way I could think of going out was my student in Nepal. So I said, get me across Nepal, to Nepal, and I will do it. And so he put me on a car with a swayamsevak who took me to Gorakhpur. And from Gorakhpur, there's a pass where the gates closed. There was no passport, nothing. I dressed like a Nepali, and I went at 5 minutes to 9 o'clock. The gates were closed. Everybody was sleeping. So I walked across, and the Nepal king then provided me with the aircraft to come to Kathmandu. From Kathmandu, he provided me an airport to go to Bangkok. And from Bangkok, I went back to there. Now, therefore, there was a definite surrender of the opposition for Mrs. Gandhi making an amendment to the constitution she wanted to do with so Kumar Mangalam and Gokhale and all the others. It would have been terrible. So what happened is that somewhere, something, the Mrs. Gandhi's was influenced by both Paramacharya and Jaggu. What did you say, Jaggu? Jiddu Krishnamurti. Was a very great, you know, he was a very smart person. He was, you know, he was right, just the right people for English speaking people. A very noble person. And because of them, and the fact that I would say that my coming into parliament, going out and disappear, she understood that there is a growing underground. And so she held the elections. And the elections, the people lived up to our glorious past, the North, particularly the North. They wiped her out in every seat, including her seat and her son's seat. And that's how we became a democracy once again. Now, of course, Morarji Desai government has amended it, and amended the constitution. It's very, very difficult to use the constitution to declare a kind of emergency of the previous type. So this is because earlier on it was only disturbance, and disturbance is a word that can be described by, you know, can be can have any many definitions. But here there was no specificity, armed rebellion. If there's an armed rebellion, only then you can declare an emergency. So the emergency part has been taken care of by the Janata government and by passing of that resolution. But there are ways in which it can creep back. During Mrs. Sonia Gandhi's grip, when the UPA was in power, with the help of Chidambaram, she had drafted something which was to be brought in. The whole idea was to use the Hindu terror concept to decimate the RSS, and because it's an organized body, and therefore you see the tendency is still there. today, Mr. Modi has literally castrated our media. I must tell you, totally castrated them. I have very many friends inside the. They tell me all the media is visited by a joint secretary of the PMO who tells them horrible things that I'll do this to you, I'll do that to you, telephone them, summon them. All this kind of thing is going on. This what you see used to see in the Soviet Union and perhaps in today's Russia and maybe in China. So this is the thing that I am very apprehensive that Mr. Modi may decide that may not be an emergency, may not be, but certainly these places where somebody can stand up and say something which he doesn't like, he can bring it by raids and sending CBI and ED and so on. All these things are a definite possibility. That's why I'm opposing it today. I think that this is the time for us to stand up and say, no, we won't even allow this much change in our democratic system. And otherwise, the emergency is a natural tendency, particularly somebody doesn't want to leave the post. And he's afraid that if he leaves the post, he might be killed or he might be imprisoned or something. Then they're likely to do something silly. And they give you a fait accompli. So I would not say that today we are in a safe situation because BJP is in power. Because BJP is not in power. It's Modi and his chelas who are in power. And that is something that we need to take care of. I have to mention that my wife and two children, they were as tough as anybody could want them to be. My children were never overawed by police following them. They in fact took advantage and made fun of them. My daughter Suhasini was once asked by the police, did you see your daddy? And she said, yes, I saw him yesterday. So they came and raided the house. Where is he? Where is he? They asked my wife. She said, what do you mean? Since your daughter told us that he was here last night. So she said that she called my daughter and said, did you say that? She said, yeah, I saw him in my dream. That's what they only asked me whether I saw him. So there was, they didn't cry. They didn't, they were not frightened at all. Now was my wife. She was also not frightened. She's in a book of her own called Roller Coaster Ride with Dr. Swami or something like that. So I think for my fight, I would say you need anybody's fight. You need a solid family backup, even if they can't participate. So I think the sum total of it is, I will conclude by saying, we must every year remember the emergency so that another emergency is not declared in another form. And we must oppose in every day anything that requires a government intervention in our fundamental rights. That is the message that I would draw from my experience. Over to you, Ramesh.
Dr. Swami, thank you. Thank you for for this excellent introduction. Some of these things we have not heard before, so I think viewers would have liked it. Now, there is also a lot of requests in the US for you to talk in Hindi. So I'm handing it over to Arvind ji to take this forward. Arvind ji, aaple shuru kijiye please.
Dhanyawad. Sunai hai kuch hum logon ko pehle se pata thi, lekin kuch baatein aapne aise hi batayi hain vipaksh ke bare mein, vipakshi netaon ke bare mein, कांग्रेस के जो इमरजेंसी के दौरान जो कांग्रेस ने अत्याचार किए उनके बारे में, जो आने वाले जो नौजवान पीढ़ी है उसको तो अंदाजा भी नहीं हो सकता कि 1975 में आज से लगभग 48 साल पहले ऐसा हुआ होगा। और जो बातें अभी आपने बताई वो बहुत महत्वपूर्ण है कि जनता पार्टी ने 1970 में एक कानून लाया, उस कानून को संशोधन करके ऐसा कर दिया कि अब दोबारा देश में इमरजेंसी नहीं लग सकती। लेकिन लोग कहते हैं कि अभी अघोषित इमरजेंसी है, अघोषित आपातकाल चल रहा है। आपने उसका कुछ उदाहरण दिया किस तरह से मीडिया को दबाया जा रहा है। आप कोई भी चैनल उठाकर देख लीजिए, 1977 के दौरान तो कोई चैनल थे नहीं, प्राइवेट चैनल थे नहीं, सिर्फ एक दूरदर्शन था, लेकिन लोग दूरदर्शन को नहीं सुनते थे, लोग बीबीसी को ज्यादा विश्वसनीय मानते थे उन दिनों, और सोचते थे कि बीबीसी रेडियो ने जो कहा वही सच है, जो भारतीय रेडियो आकाशवाणी बोल रहा है वो झूठ है। बिल्कुल वही स्थिति आज फिर है। आज देश में 200 से अधिक प्राइवेट चैनल हैं, और उन सारे 200 से अधिक प्राइवेट चैनलों पर ज्यादातर पर इतना बड़ा सरकारी शिकंजा है कि उनका कोई भी कार्यक्रम बिना सरकार के गुणगान किए पूरा नहीं हो सकता। और यदि किसी दूसरे चैनल ने, जिस तरह बीबीसी ने गुजरात दंगों के ऊपर एक डॉक्यूमेंट्री रिलीज की, उसको किस तरह बैन किया गया, जहां जहां छात्रों ने दिखाया उन पर छात्रों पर किस तरह दमन किया गया, तो आपको नहीं लगता कि कानून भले ही जनता पार्टी ने बनाया हो कि अब इमरजेंसी नहीं लगेगी, लेकिन अघोषित आपातकाल तो आज भी जारी है।
हाँ, ये तो मैंने उल्लेख किया कि जो अखबारों पर जो दमन है या अखबारों पर जो नियंत्रण बनाई जा रही है ऑफिसर्स के जरिए या सीबीआई या एनफोर्समेंट डायरेक्टरेट की धमकी के आधार पर, ये तो निश्चित तौर पर एक बहुत बुरा संकेत है। दूसरा है कि हमारे जो बीजेपी पार्टी है उसका जो कोई भी आज कोई भी ऐसा उस बॉडी नहीं है जो निर्वाचित है, जो जो अपने बल पर बलबूते पर कार्यकर्ताओं की वोट से जीत कर आए हैं या मान्यता से आए हैं। चमचागिरी एक बहुत बड़ा फैक्टर हो गया हमारे बीजेपी में आज, और इस कारण से उन लोगों को रखा गया, कैबिनेट में भी उन लोगों को रखा गया जो यानी कुछ उनका योगदान नहीं है, कुछ नहीं है, वहाँ से पकड़ के लाए, यहाँ से पकड़ के लाए। ये भी एक चीज़ है जो मैं समझता हूँ कि एक तानाशाही की एक संकेत है। और अभी भी कष्ट है क्योंकि पब्लिक अभी वोटिंग में पब्लिक आज भी अपनी रोष दिखा रही है। कर्नाटक के हार कोई छोटी हार नहीं है, कल महाराष्ट्र और मध्य प्रदेश में भी हो सकता है, और जिन लोग जीत रहे हैं वो कोई हमारे लिए उनका कोई भविष्य यानी उनकी जो पूर्व जो है वो ऐसा कोई नहीं है कि वो बड़े डेमोक्रेट्स थे, वो भी ऐसे ही हैं, बट तो पब्लिक के पास और कोई विकल्प नहीं है, तो इस तरीके के बदल आ सकती है। तो मैं ये कहता हूँ कि हमें हमारी पार्टी हमारे जो जो लोग हिम्मत कर सकते हैं वो ठीक से साफ कहना चाहिए ये आप कर नहीं सकते, इसको यानी एक एक प्रक्रिया होती है जिसको कहते हैं लोकतंत्र प्रक्रिया, उसको फॉलो करना चाहिए। आप अपने आप कुछ तय नहीं कर सकते क्या। अभी हमारे हमारे देश में 4024 स्क्वायर किलोमीटर्स की जमीन चाइना ने हड़प की है, एक भी अखबार इसको छाप नहीं सकते हैं, सब अखबार वाले जानते हैं इसको, तब भी छाप नहीं सकते क्योंकि होगा। और यही बताया जाता है कि लाइन ऑफ नेचुरल कंट्रोल में हो रही है। इतनी बड़ी चीज हमारे देश की जमीन की हड़प कर ली चाइना ने, हम आज तक उसके लिए ये कहा भी नहीं कि चाइना ने कुछ किया है। चाइना के बात कोई करता ही नहीं है, और यहाँ तक वो पुरानी बात जो प्रधानमंत्री ने कहा कि कोई आया नहीं कोई गया नहीं, वो आज भी चल रहा है। तो ये सारे संकेत यही है कि लोकतंत्र को जो पूर्ण रूप से यानी संचालन करने के लिए एक मंशा होनी चाहिए कि लोगों का दूसरी राय को स्वीकार करने के लिए। मुझे कई लोग कहते हैं भाई तुम इतने हिम्मत आदमी है तुम अकेला बोलते हो। मैंने कहा मैंने एक्सपीरियंस कर लिया है इमरजेंसी, मैंने इंदिरा गांधी को जगह दिखा दिया है, मैंने सोनिया गांधी को भी जगह दिया, उनको तो लटका के रखा है, राहुल गांधी विदेश नहीं जा सकता जब तक मेरा परमिशन नहीं है, तो ये सब मोदी को भी मैं कर सकता हूँ, परंतु यानी आक्रमण के बारे में मुझे कोई चिंता नहीं है। कौन मेरे ऊपर आक्रमण करेगा क्योंकि मैं एक विपरीत भाषा बोल रहा हूँ। मैं ये कहता हूँ कि आज सबको वो होना चाहिए कि, और मैं अखबार वालों को इतनी यानी रीढ़ की हड्डी बिल्कुल नहीं है अखबार वालों की, बड़े लेक्चर देते हैं परंतु आज किसी को ये नहीं है। इसी प्रकार से अब मणिपुर में इतनी लोग मर रहे हैं, मासूम लोग मर रहे हैं, कोई बोलता ही नहीं है। और प्रधानमंत्री
मणिपुर में आग लगी हुई है, 48 दिन हो गए और मीडिया उसको दिखाने को तैयार नहीं है। वहां पे लोगों का जीवन खत्म हो चुका है, सरकार नाम की कोई चीज नहीं बची है, केंद्र सरकार कुछ नहीं कर रही जबकि वहां डबल इंजन की सरकार है और कोई मीडिया उसको दिखाने को तैयार नहीं।
ऐसे वक्त पर प्रधानमंत्री को विदेश जाकर क्या फायदा, वहां क्या मिला आपको? कोई चाइना के खिलाफ तो कुछ बोला नहीं, अमेरिका के बारे में दोस्ती करनी चाहिए, उन्होंने कहा कि चाइना पर हम नहीं बोलेंगे और इसीलिए उसमें नहीं। क्या मेरा जो कोई भी एक जॉइंट सेक्रेटरी मिनिस्ट्री से जाकर ये सारे जो जो भी तय हुआ है वो सब वो लेकर आ सकते थे, इसके लिए प्रधानमंत्री को जाने की कोई जरूरत नहीं है और उसमें 5-6 दिन उसमें लगाए। तो मैं ये कहता हूँ कि आज कोई वो जो लोकतंत्र में सवाल पूछने के जो अधिकार है वो बिल्कुल खत्म हो गई है आज, उसको दोबारा लानी चाहिए और सीधी साफ बोलनी चाहिए। हमारे ट्विटर में ऐसे गंदी गंदी बातें कहा जा रही है लोगों को धमकाने के लिए, हमें तो नहीं कर सकते क्योंकि हमारे पास भी बहुत लोग हैं जो उल्टा उनको दे सकते हैं पर जब महिला हैं, महिला जर्नलिस्ट हैं, वो मुझे कंप्लेन करते हैं कितनी गंदी गंदी बातें ये लोग मुझसे करते हैं, क्या करूँ? तो मैंने कहा क्या करें, बंद कर दीजिए मत, ट्विटर में मत जाइए। तो यही हो सकता है, तो ये सारी चीजों को कंट्रोल करना चाहिए और ये सब गाइडेंस का प्राइम मिनिस्टर के कैबिनेट सेक्रेटेरिएट में जॉइंट सेक्रेटरी कर रहा है हिरेन जोशी का नाम से, ये सब कोऑर्डिनेट कर रहे हैं। तो ये हमें आज के दिन में सबको शपथ लेना चाहिए भाई, लोकतंत्र को इतना भी हम घसीटने नहीं देंगे और उसके उसकी जो देखभाल करनी है उसके लिए बोलना है।
स्वामी एक बात मैं और पूछूंगा, आपके पार्टी में आपने बताया कि लोकतंत्र नाम की कोई चीज नहीं है, कोई सांसद सदस्य सरकार के विरुद्ध बोलने को तैयार नहीं है सिवाय आपके, आप तो अभी संसद में नहीं है लेकिन इसके बावजूद आपकी बात पूरे देश में सुनी जाती है, विश्व में सुनी जाती है। एक तरह से सरकार के अंदर अगर कोई विपक्ष का काम कर रहा है तो सिर्फ डॉक्टर सुब्रमण्यम स्वामी कर रहे हैं, लेकिन अगर आप ये देखिए कि जो 1975 में लोग थे जयप्रकाश नारायण के साथ आपने अनुभव किया, आज पासवान नहीं है, शरद यादव नहीं है, लेकिन लालू और नीतीश और जो लोग हैं वो तो फिर अब कांग्रेस की गोदी में बैठने को तैयार हैं, तो विकल्प कहां से आएगा? विकल्प मेरी समझ से आप इसकी तस्दीक कीजिए कि शायद सिर्फ बीजेपी की तरफ से निकल सकता है, लेकिन नरेंद्र मोदी को हटाकर बीजेपी में कोई विकल्प संभव है क्या?
नहीं नहीं, उनका दो टर्म हो गया, वो 75 साल के होने वाले हैं, तो आरएसएस को पूरा अधिकार है क्योंकि ये आरएसएस का नियम है कि हमारा कोई भी 75 साल से ज़्यादा नहीं हो सकता है और सक्रिय नहीं हो सकता है राजनीति में। तो उनको, मोदी को कहना चाहिए आपका दो बारी हो गई, अब तीसरी बारी किसी और को देना है, और जो जिसको पार्लियामेंट्री पार्टी में मीटिंग में जो एमपी चाहेंगे उसका उसमें ओपन इलेक्शन कराओ कि जिसको खड़ा होना है खड़ा हो। और मोदी का दो टर्म से ज़्यादा नहीं होना चाहिए, ये आरएसएस को कहने का अधिकार है। आरएसएस करेगी नहीं करेगी वो तो उनकी उनकी उनका अधिकार भी है, मैं नहीं कहता हूँ कि उनको अनिवार्य है करना चाहिए, परंतु तो उनका एक नैतिक अधिकार है जो सब मानते हैं क्योंकि वो चुनाव में भी सारे बूथ्स में काम करते हैं, मेहनत करते हैं और अपने के लिए कुछ नहीं मांगते। तो उनको कहने से किसी के जो नियत का है उस पर कोई संदेह नहीं होता है। तो मैं समझता हूँ कि अब टाइम आ गया कि ज़्यादा सीधा मोदी को कहना चाहिए, अब दो टर्म हो गई बस अगला कोई और होगा, और ऐसा नहीं है कि हमारे पास लोग नहीं है, हैं लोग हैं और उनको लाना चाहिए और किसी को मार्गदर्शन मंडल ये सारे चीज़ में जैसे कोई यानी लूनेटिक असाइलम में किसी को भेजने के बराबर है, ऐसा किसी को बेइज्जती नहीं करनी चाहिए। लोगों को सबको सबकी राय मांगनी चाहिए और उसके लिए एक फोरम बननी चाहिए, और उस फोरम है, नेशनल एग्जीक्यूटिव है वो बन सकती है, नेशनल पार्लियामेंट्री बोर्ड है, अनेक चीज हो सकती है। तो ये जो मंशा है कि मेरी बात ही चलेगी किसी और की नहीं चलेगी, ये इसका डट के विरोध करना चाहिए। मैं खड़ा हो गया तो और भी खड़े हो सकते हैं, खड़ा होना चाहिए
जी। Dr. Swami, this notion of there is no alternative to Modi should go, Dr. Swami, because there is a human being. I mean, our time is not determined by anybody. There is one supreme being. So the concept that people believing that there is no alternative to Modi in itself shows a mental emergency, absolute mental emergency, saying that, oh, it can be only him. We should get away from this thought, because it is a ideology matters, individuals don't matter. That I think there is a fundamental difference, because after 2014, this Bhakt mentality has become overtaken this concept of what BJP Hindutva ideology stood for, and it has been replaced by this Bhakt ideology, which is very sad. And that is why all these things are happening, because once you get into a Bhakt mode, Modi has to play to the gallery all the time. So he ignores Manipur, he ignores China, he ignores Pakistan, he ignores everything that's happening around him. He does everything to show that he's a larger than life personality, which is obvious that he tried to create in the US, because I'm living here. I've scored the news media literally, because America happens by the day, and they literally scolded him. And before he met the president, Biden, we all saw the interview of Obama, which was a precursor. Basically, that is exactly what is getting translated inside the closed door meetings. Arvindji, I absolutely getting translated to closed door meetings.
No, I'm also telling you, he's not even sincere to the ideology of the party. You cannot take over any temple. In fact, taken over temples will be freed. This is in our manifesto.
Correct.
In the all the temples of Uttarakhand were taken over at the direction of the center. I had to go to court, and then the process started of, first of all, the court gave me the order that the treasury of the temples will be back in the temples. So they lost interest after that. Anyway, Maharashtra, I am going to Maharashtra today for Pandharpur. Vithal Rukmani temple. I mean, it's been taken over by this BJP government, and they have put everybody there. I mean, the pujaris are all gone. I went there, people are so upset. So recently I went there, my God, what a crowd came up. You might have seen it in pictures that came, that were put in Twitter. Huge. Everywhere I go, Take Madhya Pradesh, same thing. All the pujaris collected in a huge thing, because the Madhya Pradesh government is not agreeing to give up the control directly or indirectly of the control of the temples. Why should the masjids are not under control, the churches are not under control, why are the temples under control? What's the difference between you and DMK? The DMK at least has one argument that we don't believe in God. So all this is hocus pocus. I mean, we may not agree with it, but they have what have we got? We have a manifesto which says that temples will be all freed, and you're doing the opposite. So that is the thing, and nobody's ready to question it, and they're all participating in it. So this kind of thing, you see, is the fall of the Roman Empire, or if you want to mention Ravan's Darbar, it is something like that.
पूछना चाहता हूँ, आपने जिस प्रकार संघर्ष किया आपातकाल के विरुद्ध, उस तरह हजारों हजारों पूरे देश में ऐसे नौजवान थे उस समय जिन्होंने संघर्ष किया, और लेकिन वो राजनीति में नहीं आए। उसमें हजार में से 990 लोग राजनीति में नहीं आए, लेकिन वो लोग आज भी सफर कर रहे हैं, चाहे वो जेल की जाने के कारण हो या दूसरे अन्य कारणों से हो, उनका व्यापार खत्म हो गया, उनका कैरियर खत्म हो गया। मोदी जी ने और पिछली सरकारों ने भी घोषणा की थी कि उनको स्वतंत्रता सेनानी के बराबर सम्मान दिया जाएगा और कुछ ना कुछ उनको निधि दी जाएगी, लेकिन आज भी वो लोग वंचित हैं। इसके विषय में आप क्या कहना चाहिए?
मैं तो जानता हूं कि अनेक एग्जांपल्स आपको मिल सकते हैं। आप गोविंदाचार्य, सरजू राय, राम बहादुर राय, इन्हें मैं 7-8 लोग बता सकता हूं जो जेपी के बहुत प्रिय थे।
जी जी जी,
हाल क्या बना के रखा है? हो सकता है कि राम बहादुर राय को कोई लाइब्रेरी ऐसा कुछ दिया होगा।
वो इंदिरा गांधी प्रतिष्ठान का चेयरमैन है।
बट वो तो राजनीतिज्ञ है। गोविंदाचार्य, गोविंदाचार्य क्या कसूर है? अटल बिहारी वाजपेयी ने झूठा कह दिया कि उसने ब्रिटिश हाई कमिश्नर को कुछ गलत वाजपेयी के बारे कह दिया। वो कहता मैंने कभी नहीं कहा, और हाई कमिश्नर भी कहा कि ब्रिटिश हाई कमिश्नर भी कहा कि उसने ऐसा कुछ नहीं कहा, फिर भी उसको निकाल दिया। और संजय जोशी, अरे वो तो इतने अच्छे यानी जनरल सेक्रेटरी थे, उसको वनवास, हरेन पांड्या उसकी तो हत्या हुई, इस तक उसकी जांच नहीं हो रही है। तो मैं ये कहता हूँ कि ये पूरा डिक्टेटरशिप नहीं है। आज भी इलेक्शंस होते हैं, इससे नहीं है। इलेक्शन डेमोक्रेसी है तो इलेक्शन एक अंग है, उसके बाद अधिकार बोलने के लिए पत्रिकाओं का जो अखबार होते हैं उनको स्वाधीनता, इस प्रकार से अनेक चीज होते हैं जिसमें से सबको सारी चीजें पता लगती है, सबको यानी विचार कर सकते हैं, विरोध कर सकते हैं, सब चीजें। ये है डेमोक्रेसी और ये है हमारी पुरानी संस्कृति। आप महाभारत देखिए, कितना डिबेट हुआ युद्ध होने के पहले, और रामायण में भी कितना समझाना पड़ा यानी बिफोर रावण को वध करने के पहले। तो मैं ये समझता हूँ कि आज लोकतंत्र को एक क्रीपिंग इमरजेंसी आ रही है, यानी धीरे 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 जैसे पानी आती है वैसे आ रही है। तो आज इसके लिए हमें खड़ा होना पड़ेगा, इसीलिए इस ऐसे दिन पर हम सब लोगों को एक दृढ़ संकल्प होने की एक निष्ठा है।
जगदीश जी, योर लास्ट क्वेश्चन एंड देन वी कैन क्लोज वन आवर इनटू इट। अनम्यूट जगदीश जी, अनम्यूट।
डॉक्टर स्वामी, आई थिंक द एज यू राइटली सेड, द बेस्ट thing of remembering the emergency is to instill in our people the democratic spirit, because what is happening is, as you very well know, during Indira Gandhi's time, whom Jai Prakash Narayan called as a court jester, the president of the Congress party Devkant Barua compared Indira as India and India as Indira, if you recall. And where has Indira gone and where has Devkant Barua gone, nobody knows. But why I am saying is, it is not only do we fight against these forces, we brought about the emergency, we have to fight against the people who don't have the democratic spirit in them. Just now, a canard has been floated, which Ramesh referred to, saying that what is the alternative to Modi, and as if we are talking about Congress being brought to power. The unfortunate part is these democratic and the so-called democratic people don't realize that when we say a replacement for Modi is from the BJP itself, and they forget in that 2004 Atal Bihari Vajpayee also spread the same thing. There is no alternative to Atal Bihari Vajpayee, and we had to suffer a Sonia controlled Manmohan Singh for 10 years. So these Andhbaks and Ganbaks are ready to suffer an outsider rather than, you know, concede a democratic election within the BJP. So today is a day for us to instill in us a democratic spirit within the party, within the country, or within any organization. And I think you being in the forefront of the emergency is the right person to keep this, I would say, the battle going on. It is not against any individual, but just as they could change the Karnataka ex-chief minister, his role to contest Jagdish Shettar, to contest the election, saying that now he has become 67. So I think the prime minister has crossed 70. He should also not be contesting the next election. Democratic spirit doesn't come only for the karyakartas, but not for the leader. This was just my comment looking at what Gunbucks try to propagate.
Well said, Jagdish. I mean, they don't realize what you had to go through. No, Jagdish, they don't realize, because none of these Unbucks and Gunbucks ever went through the emergency, what it meant to go through that period. You know, so it is just shameful that they don't realize and they don't want to learn from people who have gone through that.
Then many of them are purveying pornographic material in the party forums. I'm a bit surprised at that.
Yeah, Arvind ji, aap conclude kar sakte.
थैंक यू डॉक्टर स्वामी. आज का दिन बहुत महत्वपूर्ण दिन है. वी आर सेलिब्रेटिंग 200th एपिसोड ऑफ वर्ड्स ऑफ विजडम ज्ञान गंगा. दिस एपिसोड विल नॉट बी कंप्लीटेड अनलेस वी थैंक फ्रॉम अवर बॉटम ऑफ द हार्ट अवर व्यूअर्स हु हैव बीन सपोर्टिंग अस फॉर मोर देन 2 years कंटिन्यूअसली. एंड लुक एट द एनर्जी ऑफ अवर मेंटर डॉक्टर सुब्रमण्यम स्वामी. Sunday after Sunday, and several times we also had special episodes on Saturdays. So congratulations to each one of us who have celebrated the 200th episode today. Jagdish Shetty ji, Ramesh Swami ji, who started this program, this concept, I remember on the last day of the March in 2020 when the lockdown was on, we decided to conceive this program and bring it to the viewers. Viewers have supported it, and we wholeheartedly. So thank the viewers, thanking the technical team, without whose support this program, which has come to this height today, that each episode is viewed by more than 1 lakh people, and it reaches about 130-140 countries. Team led by Ashish Shetty, Swaminathan, Tejas, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Vishal Mehta, Ajesh Nair. This team has brought this program. Thanks to this technical experts. And of course, a brain behind this program for any technological change is Ramesh Swami. I must once again thank him. Dr. Swami, you have been the spirit behind this program. And you have, and today's program, especially the today's topic that we had about the emergency, and you have so very well put it that how we can prevent the emergency-like situation to happen from this country. And naturally, what Jagdish said in the end, I must also repeat that we must somehow try to strengthen the spirit of democracy among the voters of India so that they don't see beyond one single leader. They see the spirit of India should live, but not in the form that we are seeing in the last few years. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, all of you. We'll be meeting again next Sunday, 2nd July, for the 201st episode of Words of Wisdom, Gyan Ganga. Till then, Namaskar, Jai Hind.
Namaste.